so she'll not get it.
So they're just working.
They are setting their own rules, their own laws, and you, the people, don't know any different. You're concerned with where your job is, whether or not they're going to take your guns, whether or not your babies are going to kill each other on the streets. And the rest of this is overwhelming. You don't know anything about the bank laws. You don't even understand you are working with international banks while you think a Federal Reserve is something attached to your government. So you've got a situation of ignorance. They know what they're doing, and there isn't anything you can do to stop them.
So, Commander, is it safe to say that the Justice Department, Antitrust Division, is working in cahoots, hand in glove, with the International Monetary Fund?
Absolutely. You will never save this country unless you bring the judicial system into line first.
Okay, thanks very much.
And what are my odds as to doing all of this at this moment? Slim to zero.
Positive. It's a chance.
But if you get busy, and I don't mean go out there and pass out things that just make you appear kooky on the street corner. I mean, if you get busy with your intent so that your petitions are heard in unselfishness, there's nothing can stop you. But this is what's coming down. They've planned it for centuries, and they're pulling it off almost to perfection. Every now and then they stub their toe, and that only slows them a little bit. They come at you in a different way. And so they lose one or two over here. All the while, the lawyers have made a lot of money. But they'll lose it too. You see, there are no respecters. They will cut their own brother's throat. They will shoot their own mother. There is no honor, no integrity amongst these particular thieves. Even crime has its own moral code of ethics. There is none in this group. Their very vow is against all goodness. That is their vow. And you have to understand, you're against the adversary. So what do you do? You're going to have to recognize your power of godness, or you won't do anything. You will be intimidated and completely squashed by them. Well, just today, now, I see a lot of relief on the part of all of you. Ah, well, thank goodness I can go underground now because God's going to take care of those little grays and they're going to... No, they're not. That's last resort, Phil. Precious ones, you're going to go right on with your building so that there is something to form a foundation if you can pull this off. If you decide to pull it off, there is nothing can stop you from pulling it off. But you will jolly well get some atomic bombs dropped on you. These missiles are going to fly back and forth. They will give up this whole planet before they lose it. But as long as there is hope for survival, they won't. They won't totally destroy it. And right here, to destroy you, they've got to go through me. And they know they can't do it.
Thank goodness.
When they continually try. Moreover, when it really gets hot and heavy to take out these bases over here that can undo them, they have to get through here. So you're as safe as you're going to be. anywhere. This holds true for anywhere. But you're still going to have to prepare. You're still going to have to go forward with these projects. You're going to have to keep from getting hung up on your little personal idiosyncrasies and your garbage that you pack everywhere you go. You've got to let it go. It doesn't matter to you. Enjoy what you have. Be willing to let it go. It is of no value. Believe me, they have prepared their facilities very well. Don't think that whatever junk you have can measure up. They don't want to be without their stuff. And I hate to see it go to waste. But they're going to be in those holes when it all starts flying around, and you're going to be up on top of the ground. So you've got a job to do. You can't lessen with your intent and your effort, thinking that some miracle, magic, godfather on a broom is going to come and whisk you away. It will not happen. That is not your mission. Your mission is to get as many brothers informed and off this place as possible. That's why you're here. And I can promise you, it may not seem like it at this moment and when fear grips you, but if you fail because you just were too damn lazy to go do it, or you just didn't think, I will do it, let somebody else do it for a while, there will not be a hole deep enough, safe enough, pretty enough to take the hell off the edge of your soul. Because you know you made a commitment. And if you refuse to follow through, many ones will die. And they will die in ignorance. And if ones refuse to hear, you have to release them and let them go. If they want to pick it up later, it is never too late. It may be too late to come into safety, but with the soul, it is never too late. So listen to what the adversary tells you. Listen to the bindings that he thrusts on you. Those are to convince you you can do nothing. Not only can you do, you will do it with the pen and the word and action. You will not pick up even an Uzi machine gun to go out there and fight with. They will kill you. Do you hear me? They let one breath of anthrax loose in Utah at the Tooele Proving Grounds, and they killed 64,000 sheep in 5 seconds. And that was decades ago. When you talk about nuclear weapons tipped with these kinds of warheads, you're talking about powered with nuclear power to get it where they want to send it, with a computer device that will land it exactly where they want it to land. But you see, they perceive that through these techniques you salvage. You only get rid of the pain in the neck people. So they will use these kinds of weapons, and then it will just get worse and worse and worse. And finally, somebody is going to do the dastardly.
Can What about the plants and the animals?
What about them?
Are they going to be destroyed as well?
Absolutely, probably so. You are talking about the death of a planet. I don't like it. Man was sent as caretaker. And this is what it's come to. And it's come to almost this point over and over again. And yes, the plants, the children, all creatures, all life is punished.
This is not the first time it's happened.
No. Unfortunately, this seems to be a part of the growing process of man. He must be, as with the heroin addict or any addiction, you must have that addiction literally destroy you. Somehow, most ones require that before they will take control and stop it. A lot of the wildlife will be simply protected. This is why you have to, in your planning, because you do have love, and these ones are gifted unto you, you must prepare for them. You cannot just wish. This is what we talk about actions. Wishing, it's nice. Waiting for someone else to do it is nice. Until the day comes, then you will change your wish and your action. You will wish that you had done it. And yet, you come to this point and I hear you. I don't have anything with which to do it. Then you have to keep plugging and pushing on the product that in turn allows it to flow back. And you're just about there. You're just about grown enough to be able to use it properly. And once it begins to come back, you will understand. And it makes all the lean moments very worthy. You hear John today, his heart says it all. I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I waited on God. These are just brothers. That's all. And you know what? That's all God is. And ones don't seem to understand. How can God allow this? Or how can God allow that? And ones attacked Bogrites for this very thing. Your fundamentalist Christian. Attack, 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 and judge him. Because he said, although it is not my opinion or my choice of lifestyle, I will fight to my death to defend the right of the homosexual to be what he chooses to be. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say here. As a man, to condone is incorrect. That's not what he said. He is running for president. That office is only the leadership head that ensures constitutional protection under that constitutional law. And the Constitution says that homosexual person has a right to his belief. That does not mean the man sanctions the behavior or agrees, but if in fact becoming president he denies the Constitution in favor of his choice, he will never make it, because I will not allow it. You cannot legislate morality, but you can stand for the laws of the Constitution laid forth to the best of your ability. And you may not judge. That is not your business. To stand for the laws as written is your business. And you must bring back sovereignty to yourself. And then your town, and then your state, and then, and only then, that servant of yours, not ones who overdraw on their favorite private bank. They are your servant. And maybe they shouldn't be paid at all. And then you wouldn't have the trash in there. It's reversed. Everything in your existence is reversed. Look at whatever they're throwing at you and know the opposite is more nearly the truth. And yet they have gleaned immense physical power. And that immense physical power will be worth not a vapor in the final confrontation. But you're not to the final confrontation. It just seems like it. The difference is you will enjoy your journey. There will be times of fright, times of terror. But you hold to the truth and go about your work. And there will be peace in the soul. And that, my friends, is what this is all about. Because that's all there is. All the rest of this is just an experience. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have a better one. And yet, I don't think any of you could have written such a neat story with so much intrigue. And isn't it wondrous to be able to look at it with all its intrigue and see it for what it is? That's what's meant by the truth will set you free. The truth, in the truth, whatever it is, there is no way to bind you.
Commander,
please.
Have most of our generals and admirals sold out and betrayed their oath, the
yes.
constitutional oath?
Yes.
Are many of them replicas?
Yes. All the above. But a lot were just vile to start with. You're dealing with a big, powerful, monstrous organization of elite. We're working right now just on the structure of, we start with the CIA because that's what you are familiar with. But you're going to find that they're into everything. Mm-hmm. And the major part of the CIA is not the CIA. It's the intelligence services within your military. And it is just like a plague upon your nations. These intelligence organizations have eaten the body. And that, I like John, this could go on for days. And has. It has taken us long, hours and hours and hours, to put this to print. It's why I may seem abrupt from time to time. I never consider any question asked in sincerity to be negligible, mundane, or foolish. Sometimes I may seem to be abrupt simply because we will have written on that very subject 8 or 10 times. And yet, as ones begin to come into knowledge, you want it all, and you want it right now. And I understand it, and I honor you for it. And if there were a shortcut, I would give it to you.
Commander?
Yes.
Thoughts are things. Why can't we as a body, we have a body of people, we have brains, unite with God, and by thought sabotage a lot of this stuff. Like this Reagan, when he's out there talking to the public, make him start talking idiot-like or something. Make people realize, hey, there's something wrong with this man. He's not real. What about the underground bases? Clear them with light. Just bombard it with light.
Well, I don't think you want to do very much with those. They're pretty good.
But we are in line with God, though. They are not.
Well, you don't know. You don't know who's there. I hear what you're saying,
yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You have to align with God and unite in your energy to thrust against this monster.
But that's a good start. A lot of people are individually thinking, you know, combine one full body and think. Not just, well, on Sundays at a certain time. Every time you think, I don't care if you're on a pot, if you're showering, if you're cooking food, you're out playing with the kids, constantly bombard these robots to make them do crazy stuff. So people are going to say, hey, this thing isn't a person. What is this? You know? Because we got this guy is not going to make an election, but if we keep going on him, keep bombarding this mind, this body. Sure, they say, well, they can always put another one in. When he's talking to a large crowd, and he's talking and it's televised, and he's making belligerent statements so obvious that it sounds like he's talking like a one-year-old, obviously something wrong. People are going to want to ask questions why, wouldn't they?
Well, let me give you a little bit different perspective. Why don't you ask for ones to be enlightened enough to see the idiocy?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have ones who can respond in wisdom.
Right.
True, but, you know, we don't really have a lot. We were talking about that already. But I think it takes one step more and have them talk. Talk is it?
Well, if you listen very carefully, you've already accomplished that. There's hardly anything but idiocy that comes out of their mouth.
True.
They go about the country being idiots and still one poop and holler and cannot seem to see.
Well, I was having breakfast at one of these little truck stops, and these waitresses are talking, blah, blah, blah. You know, the so-and-so, they went and took all this money, and, you know, it was us, we've been put away. I'm thinking, why don't you people just... Maybe we should work on the people, the public, to start thinking together, to concentrate. Because we need an army to focus on these people. Because, you know, I'm saying, well, you know, if we did this or that, you know, that would happen. The point is, I think that we should just, you know, you don't have to go around with guns. You say, thoughts, well, you
got your army right here.
But we can also get the public in on it. Talk to the public. Hey, things, the thoughts are things. You can use them as weapons. Combine our thoughts. Get these people out of here. Get this stuff wiped off. We don't have to think, well, if it was us, we would be doing that or the other thing. Hey, we can get rid of them very easy if we combine our thoughts and concentrate them like weapons.
Well, this is the only route you have, because you have no access to the establishment media. You're going to have to do it word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
and do it this way.
Commander, anybody in the room notice that when George Bush speaks now, he has on either side of him two rectangular-shaped things that look like a piece of plastic standing on a music stand? Anybody notice that? Mm-hmm. I wonder how many know what that is.
Telephone. ELF.
No,
shield.
Not a telephone.
After Bush was hit by
a couple of low-frequency, low-level ELF shots in Japan, and he threw up all over the Japanese leaders, they got onto what caused his illness, and of course now he's protected by these two shields, which are able to deflect any ELF shots that are sent to him in his immediate area. They will deflect them. It's interesting to note that, because it's something like confirmation of what we said, that the sudden illness, quote, illness, unquote, that he suffered was not a normal one, but was induced by extremely low frequency radiation.
No, and it certainly did stop his heart too.
Yes, I'm sure of that.
This gentleman was very, very dead for a little bit.
What about the 30, isn't there only 30% of the population that's really human and the rest of them are robot-like?
Well, I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
A lot of ones have been bred into oblivion of life, but that can be reclaimed.
Question for John, please.
Please.
Could you give us up-to-date stuff, John, on number one, South Africa, number two, no elections in November?
Mm-hmm. No elections in November. I'll start with that because that's probably a very distinct possibility. Bush at the moment is doing his best with all of his entourage to frantically keep the skeletons locked up in his closets, and they're rattling louder and louder every day, believe me. There are dozens of them. Now, if any of those should be lucky enough to escape a few at a time, Mr. Bush is going to have to resign, and it may be that the powers that be by that time will have seen that Clinton isn't quite the heavyweight that they had him panned out to be, and there may very well be no election. We may even have martial law by then. As for South Africa, it's at the crossroads of extreme violence, which could go on for 30 years. Just this week, they've had the most violent killings in the entire history. In the 11 years that the Inkatha, that's the Zulu party, have been fighting the ANC, that's the party of the Mandela group, 11,000 blacks have been killed by other blacks. And just this week, the killing reached new heights of 184 black people lost their lives. And the highest total of 28 in one day was Friday the 13th. We have a situation pending there which is fraught with peril. But the interesting thing about this is that it's all tied to the price of gold. The price of gold declined again yesterday by $3.50.
It's $3.48 or
something. It's now $3.47.50.
It's true.
And
it's
why is
the time
it that,
to buy, my friend.
Why is it at that low level? Now, you can bring me all the graphs, all the charts, all the economic data, and I'm going to tell you, throw them in the garbage can, because gold is a political metal, ladies and gentlemen. It is not tied to economic factors. If you want to know the price of gold, find out the price of a pound of pure raw opium, and find out how close Mandela is to taking over the reins of government in South Africa. The South African economy was brought to its knees by undercutting the price of gold, with the idea of the Committee of 300 finally obtaining their objective. They already have oil entirely in their control. They have almost every raw material in the world. The one thing they lack is total control. They've had partial control, let's say up to 85% of gold production in South Africa and the diamonds. But they're looking for 100% control, and the only way they're going to get this is by getting rid of the present government and installing Mandela, who does not really represent the black people. He's really a puppet and a pawn in the game. He's there to do the will of the Committee of 300, because as soon as he's in power, the price of gold, they're going to recover all their losses by the price of gold shooting up to $1,000 an ounce or more. But it's not going to last, for the reason that it will last only for as long as the poor black people in this country, in South Africa, do not realize that they've merely been pawns in the game. But once they do that,
And there's going to be great brutality by black upon black. They've already unleashed a lot of stuff which has come to our attention, whereby we'll have another Khmer Rouge situation where millions and millions of these poor blacks will be viciously taken out of the country and marched back to their reservations where they'll die of starvation. And this is going to be done under the auspices of the Committee of 300. But the price of gold is the key, because they have to give an impression of prosperity having come to South Africa. And for a while this is true. So if you see gold going up to 650 or something, buy it, because it's going to go up to more than 1,000, but it's not going to last. It's going to last only as long as the dupes, both black and white, fail to realize that they've been pawns in the game, and that this is a great stage play put on by the Committee of 300. But South Africa is set for serious problems for the next 30 years, because even if Mr. Mandela does become the president of the country, he's not really the leader. The real leader lurks behind the scenes, and that's a colonel in the KGB, Mr. Joe Slovo, who's closely tied to the International Policy Studies Group in Washington, who have really funded all of these activities. And this is a far left-wing organization through the Rubin Foundation. They've given Mandela and Joe Slovo millions and millions of dollars to bring things to the point where they are. I'm most sorry for the black people. My heart goes out to them the most, because they are going to be the biggest losers. They're going to be like the Khmer Rouge victims in Cambodia, the 2 million people who were taken out and slaughtered as an experiment of genocide, so that the Committee of 300 could see whether this is a possibility that will work. And we're going to have the same situation in South Africa, because there's no way that that burgeoning population of black people can be supported by the small pyramid power structure at the moment. The economic power structure is very weak. Mm-hmm. And once the Committee of 300 pulls the gold and the diamonds out and takes total control, the whole economy is going to collapse, and you have millions of black people, always the first victims of tyranny, the same as they were in Rhodesia, Mozambique, Angola, you name it, the Congo. You're going to find the black people, the victims, the helpless victims of the Committee of 300. Now, they may organize. You might find that in Qatar they've got a very wonderful man there, Chief Buthelezi. I happen to have had the honor to meet with him personally. As a matter of fact, we met in a bookshop in the Royal Hotel in Durban when I was there. He was paging through some magazines, and I was standing right next to him looking at it, and I looked up, and he caught my eye, and I caught his at the same time, and I said, "Aren't you Chief Buthelezi?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Who are you?" And I told him. He said, "Come and have some tea with me." Wonderful man, educated, brilliant man. He realizes he's being duped by the communists. He realizes that the blacks in South Africa are being duped by false front organizations whose only aim and object, ladies and gentlemen, is to enslave them entirely, deprive them of their economic liberties, and then destroy them as useless, unwanted, useless eaters in terms of the global genocide policy. So if Chief Buthelezi is able to organize his forces along with the remnants of the white, and by the way, they've already, today I got the news, because we're in daily touch with South Africa, that the white element have met with him secretly yesterday and asked if they can form a non-aggression pact with him against the communists and the left wing and the Committee of 300, and he's agreed to it. So you have the makings of an intensive guerrilla warfare struggle which could continue for 30 years in South Africa, and it's only part of this vast apparatus, this vast organization, the Committee of 300, that sits over there, and they pull all the strings, every facet of your lives, my life, the life of every black person in South Africa, indeed over the whole world. We are facing consummate evil with these people. This is evil incarnate. And I think it's a unique opportunity that God has given us to tear the veil from their faces and be able to look at them and say, "You are the guys who are causing all the trouble in the world. Now we know you." And if nothing else in my life, I'm glad that I've been able in some small way to make this contribution, that it is possible for us to do this today. Thank you so much.
Don't we know who these 300 people are? Wasn't there a book written about it? Did you just know that? Or is that the 300?
I barely got it.
Right, we have a special deal for you.
You'll have more advantage than you realize. As far as you ones personally are concerned, because there's something about the ego of these elite evil beings. They are so accustomed to this power that it never crosses their mind that you can do more than just nibble away at them. You just annoy them, you see. And they are faced with two things. One, you coming into knowledge and being able to do something about it. They perceive that it's gone far enough now that there's nothing you can do about it and you're going to have to know anyway. So literally they do a lot of squawking on the basis of anti-Semitism and bigotry and whatever that they want to throw at you. And they can stop your publications and they can do this, that, and the other, but the facts are they're not as dangerous to you as you might think, because they know this information has to go out there. And when you realize the overwhelming strength of this evil cartel, your first perception will be it is hopeless. Anything they want, if they just let me not go in pain. So that's where you have to take control of your power as a sovereign being. They have to work in the dark because they dare not work in front of you. And yet, now that they are being caught with all their skeletons showing, they still mesmerize you by saying, oh, I know you'll go ahead and vote for me because I've learned my lesson. Whereas if Joe Blow is stopped on the street and he has a little bit of cocaine, he's going to end up in prison and a fine. We're going to really teach him a lesson. And if somebody goes in and writes the second bad check, you're in real trouble, people. And, of course, it depends on how bad the check was. We are talking the House of Representatives into the thousands of dollars per check. And that's deliberate. And your gentleman from Texas wrote almost 800 of them. That's a lot of money. I don't care over what period you spread it. That's criminal. And if you are not more discerning of the people that you choose, it only speaks of yourself. And your police are now trained by the KGB and the Mossad. They have been working with CIA trainers at least since your 50s. They're preparing the enforcement agency to enforce their laws. And they want you to know it. They will deny it and deny it and deny it, but they want you to know it. They want you to have a good look at Rodney King. It doesn't matter to them whether 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 of their officers go to jail. Because that one would never have been mentioned had somebody not photographed it. They bring children into the children's hospital with their eyes broken out. These police are thugs. And it used to be for every bad one, you would have 1 million good ones. No way. For every good one, you've got a whole battalion just itching to use that baton. And they show you how it works on every television program. So you don't dare go against them. And I mean it. You don't dare go against them. They'll just beat you to death. You must be wiser than they. And that's what we're about. You will not take them by force. If you have to have sandbags in 1996, you get behind them. You have no force alone with which to stand against this army and their toys. So don't have this Rambo image of I will go in and I will turn it around. Even Bo must understand you will never do it with bullets. You won't last long enough. But you can do it. And they have great egos. That is part of the physical expression. They want you to know. They cannot bear it until you know. And you see, these secrets that are coming forth, these are the things that really annoy, however. They don't care whether Bush is in there. They would rather have Bill Clinton. He's younger, a few more hidden skeletons. But you see, they've thrown that out to you, and you patted him on the head and didn't want to judge. How big of you, America? He's one of them, groomed by them. He is part of the committee. Please don't be foolish. So what are your choices? George Bush or Clinton? And that's the way they would like it to remain. And then you might get to election if you don't push too hard. And then listen to what they say. You knew when the robot came. You knew the moment the robot opened his mouth and said, George Bush is an honorable man, and I just wanted to pull him a little bit farther away from his high point so he would be more like us. You didn't have a prayer because Buchanan had already played their game and they got him. They got him. And what you see ain't what's there. And it could happen to every one of them. But anybody working in the service of God is unprogrammable. They've got to simply take them out dead. And that's a little harder to do when they're asking for the protection so that they can serve. You see, when the intent goes from let me be president and I'll be the big shot to my God, my kids will not have a land. And it's sobering. It's frightening. But it's possible to undo it. There are only basically 300 major ones of them. You have 6.5 billion people. And it appears they have all the power. And at this point, physically, they control it all. So it begins to be, once confronted, up to you.
Commander?
Please.
When
I come to this group. I work for Pacific Telephone, and I work at the best for Delta Telephone. I've come in contact with the public, lots of people every day, these Los Angeles communities. When I first met this group and became aware of the material, I experienced a shift in consciousness, a whole total new world of what was going on opened up. And I was very excited to share what I was learning here with the people that I came in contact with. And I find little opportunities, I get a customer on the phone, I say a little thing, right? He's doing that quite a bit. And people come to the drive-thru, I hand them food, and I say, how do you like the new world order? I'll have some little comment to stimulate thinking. And I try with my fellow employees to hand them some of the papers and material. When I hand people paper, I maybe circle one part I thought would be significant to them, and they read it, and they say, who printed this? And then they say, Anton, who's Anton? Extraterrestrial? Down comes the, you know, end of conversation. Alan's cuckoo. And that, so then I began to not let them notice where it came from. Just, here's the information, pull it back and see if they, you know, find verification.
You're not getting.
So they're just working.
They are setting their own rules, their own laws, and you, the people, don't know any different. You're concerned with where your job is, whether or not they're going to take your guns, whether or not your babies are going to kill each other on the streets. And the rest of this is overwhelming. You don't know anything about the bank laws. You don't even understand you are working with international banks, while you think a Federal Reserve is something attached to your government.
It's never been.
So you've got a situation of ignorance. They know what they're doing, and there isn't anything you can do to stop them.
So, Commander, is it safe to say that the Justice Department, Antitrust Division, is working in cahoots, hand in glove, with the International Monetary Fund?
Absolutely. You will never save this country unless you bring the judicial system into line first.
Okay, thanks very much.
And what are my odds as to doing all of this? At this moment, slim to zero.
Odds. It's a chance.
But if you get busy, and I don't mean go out there and pass out things that just make you appear kooky on the street corner. I mean, if you get busy with your intent so that your petitions are heard in unselfishness, there's nothing can stop you. But this is what's coming down. They've planned it for centuries, and they're pulling it off almost to perfection. Every now and then they stub their toe. And that only slows them a little bit. They come at you in a different way. And so they lose one or two over here. All the while the lawyers have made a lot of money. But they'll lose it too. You see, there are no respecters. They will cut their own brother's throat. They will shoot their own mother. There is no honor, no integrity amongst these particular thieves. Even crime has its own moral code of ethics. There is none in this group. Their very vow is against all goodness. That is their vow. And you have to understand, you're against the adversary. So what do? You're going to have to recognize your power of godness, or you won't do anything. You will be intimidated and completely squashed by them. Well, just today, now, I see a lot of relief on the part of all of you. Ah, well, thank goodness I can go underground now, because God's going to take care of those little grays, and they're going to No, they're not. That's last resort, Phil, precious ones. You're going to go right on with your building so that there is something to form a foundation if you can pull this off. If you decide to pull it off, there is nothing can stop you from pulling it off. But you will jolly well get some atomic bombs dropped on you. These missiles are going to fly back and forth. They will give up this whole planet before they lose it. But as long as there is hope for survival, they won't. They won't totally destroy it. And right here, to destroy you, they've got to go through me, and they know they can't do it.
Thank goodness.
When they continually try. Moreover, when it really gets hot and heavy to take out these bases over here that can undo them, they have to get through here. So you're as safe as you're going to be anywhere. This holds true for anywhere. But you're still going to have to prepare. You're still going to have to go forward with these projects. You're going to have to keep from getting hung up on your little personal idiosyncrasies and your garbage that you pack everywhere you go. You've got to let it go. It doesn't matter to you. Enjoy what you have. Be willing to let it go. It is of no value. Believe me, they have prepared their facilities very well. Don't think that whatever junk you have can measure up. They don't want to be without their stuff. And I hate to see it go to waste. But they're going to be in those holes when it all starts flying around, and you're going to be up on top of the ground. So you've got a job to do. You can't lessen with your intent and your effort, thinking that some miracle, magic, godfather on a broom is going to come and whisk you away. It will not happen. That is not your mission. Your mission is to get as many brothers informed and off this place as possible. That's why you're here. And I can promise you, it may not seem like it at this moment and when fear grips you, but if you fail because you just were too damn lazy to go do it, or you just didn't think, I will do it, let somebody else do it for a while, there will not be a hole deep enough, safe enough, pretty enough to take the hell off the edge of your soul. Because you know you made a commitment. And if you refuse to follow through, many ones will die. And they will die in ignorance. And if ones refuse to hear, you have to release them and let them go. If they want to pick it up later, it is never too late. It may be too late to come into safety, but with the soul, it is never too late. So listen to what the adversary tells you. Listen to the bindings that he thrusts on you. Those are to convince you you can do nothing. Not only can you do, you will do it with the pen and the word and action. You will not pick up even an Uzi machine gun to go out there and fight with. They will kill you. Do you hear me? They let one breath of anthrax loose in Utah at the Tooele Proving Grounds, and they killed 64,000 sheep in 5 seconds. And that was decades ago. When you talk about nuclear weapons tipped with these kinds of warheads, you're talking about powered with nuclear power to get it where they want to send it, with a computer device that will land it exactly where they want it to land. But you see, they perceive that through these techniques you salvage, you only get rid of the pain in the neck people. So they will use these kinds of weapons, and then it will just get worse and worse and worse, and finally somebody is going to do the dastardly.
What about the plants and the animals?
What about them?
Are they going to be destroyed as well?
Absolutely, probably so. You are talking about the death of a planet. I don't like it. Man was sent as caretaker. And this is what it's come to. And it's come to almost this point over and over again. And yes, the plants, the children, all creatures, all life is punished.
This is not the first time it's happened.
No. Unfortunately, this seems to be a part of the growing process of man. He must be, as with the heroin addict or any addiction, you must have that addiction literally destroy you. Somehow, most ones require that before they will take control and stop it. A lot of the wildlife will be simply protected. This is why you have to, in your planning, because you do have love, and these ones are gifted unto you, you must prepare for them. You cannot just wish. This is what we talk about actions. Wishing, it's nice. Waiting for someone else to do it is nice until the day comes. Then you will change your wish and your action. You will wish that you had done it. And yet you come to this point, and I hear you. I don't have anything with which to do it. Then you have to keep plugging and pushing on the product that in turn allows it to flow back. And you're just about there. You're just about grown enough to be able to use it properly. And once it begins to come back, you will understand. And it makes all the lean moments very worthy. You hear John today, his heart says it all. I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I waited on God. These are just brothers. That's all. And you know what? That's all God is. and ones don't seem to understand. How can God allow this, or how can God allow that? And ones attacked Bogrites for this very thing. Your fundamentalist Christian, attack, and judge him. Because he said, although it is not my opinion or my choice of lifestyle, I will fight to my death to defend the right of the homosexual to be what he chooses to be. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say here. As a man, to condone is incorrect. That's not what he said. He is running for president. That office is only the leadership head that ensures constitutional protection under that constitutional law. And the Constitution says that homosexual person has a right to his belief. That does not mean the man sanctions the behavior or agrees, but if in fact becoming president, he denies the Constitution in favor of his choice, he will never make it, because I will not allow it. You cannot legislate morality, but you can stand for the laws of the Constitution laid forth to the best of your ability. And you may not judge. That is not your business. To stand for the laws as written is your business. And you must bring back sovereignty to yourself. And then your town, and then your state, and then and only then that servant of yours, not ones who overdraw on their favorite private bank. They are your servant. And maybe they shouldn't be paid at all. And then you wouldn't have the trash in there. It's reversed. Everything in your existence is reversed. Look at whatever they're throwing at you and know the opposite is more nearly the truth. And yet they have gleaned immense physical power. And that immense physical power will be worth not a vapor in the final confrontation. But you're not to the final confrontation. It just seems like it. The difference is you will enjoy your journey. There will be times of fright, times of terror. But you hold to the truth and go about your work, and there will be peace in the soul. And that, my friends, is what this is all about. Because that's all there is. All the rest of this is just an experience. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have a better one. And yet, I don't think any of you could have written such a neat story with so much intrigue. And isn't it wondrous to be able to look at it with all its intrigue and see it for what it is? That's what's meant by the truth will set you free. The truth, in the truth, whatever it is, there is no way to bind you.
Commander, have most of our generals and admirals sold out and betrayed their oath? yes. constitutional oath.
Yes.
Are many of them replicas?
Yes. All the above. But a lot were just vile to start with. You're dealing with a big, powerful, monstrous organization of elite. We're working now to... We're working right now just on the structure of... We start with the CIA because that's what you are familiar with. But you're going to find that they're into everything. Mm-hmm. And the major part of the CIA is not the CIA. It's the intelligence services within your military. And it is just like a plague upon your nations. These intelligence organizations have eaten the body. And that, I like John, this could go on for days. And has. It has taken us long, hours and hours and hours, to put this to print. It's why I may seem abrupt from time to time. I never consider any question asked in sincerity to be negligible, mundane, or foolish. Sometimes I may seem to be abrupt simply because we will have written on that very subject 8 or 10 times. And yet, as ones begin to come into knowledge, you want it all, and you want it right now. And I understand it, and I honor you for it. And if there were a shortcut, I would give it to you.
Commander?
Yes.
Thoughts are things. Why can't we as a body, we are a body of people, we have brains, unite with God, and by thought sabotage a lot of this stuff. Like Reagan, when he's out there talking to the public, make them start talking idiot-like or something. Make people realize, hey, there's something wrong with this man. He's not real. What about the underground bases? Clear them with light. Just bombard it with light.
Well, I don't think you want to do very much with those. They're pretty good.
But we are aligned with God, though. They are not.
Well, you don't know. You don't know who's there. I hear what you're saying,
yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You have to align with God and unite in your energy to thrust against this monster.
But that's a good start. A lot of people are individually thinking, you know, combine one full body and think. Not just, well, on Sundays at a certain time. Every time you think, I don't care if you're on a pot, if you're showering, if you're cooking food, you're out playing with the kids, constantly bombard these robots to make them do crazy stuff. So people are going to say, hey, this thing isn't a person. What is this? You know? Because we got this guy trying to make an election, but if we keep going on him, keep bombarding this mind, his body. Sure, they say, well, they can always put another one in. When he's talking to a large crowd, and he's talking, and it's televised, and he's making belligerent statements, so obvious that it sounds like he's talking like a one-year-old, obviously something wrong. People are going to want to ask questions why, wouldn't they?
Well, let me give you a little bit different perspective. Why don't you ask for ones to be enlightened enough to see the idiocy.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
Then you have ones who can respond in wisdom.
Right.
True, but, you know, we don't really have a lot. We were talking about that already. But I think it takes one step more and have them talk. Thought is it?
Well, if you listen very carefully, you've already accomplished that. There's hardly anything but idiocy that comes out of their mouth.
True.
They go about the country being idiots and still ones poop and holler and cannot seem to see.
Well, I was having breakfast at one of these little truck stops, and these waitresses are talking, blah, blah, blah. You know, the so-and-so, they went and took all this money, and, you know, it was us, we've been put away. I'm thinking, why don't you people just, maybe we should work on the people, the public, to start thinking together, to concentrate. Because we need an army to focus on these people. Because, you know, I'm saying, well, you know, if we did this or that, you know, that would happen. The point is, I think that we should just, you know, you don't have to go around with guns. You say, thoughts.
You've got your army right here.
We can also get the public in on it. Talk to the public. Hey, things, the thoughts are things. You can use them as weapons. Combine our thoughts. Get these people out of here. Get this stuff wiped off. We don't have to think, well, if it was us, we would be doing that or the other thing. Hey, we can get rid of them very easy if we combine our thoughts and concentrate them like weapons.
Well, this is the only route you have, because you have no access to the establishment media. You're going to have to do it word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And do it this way.
Commander, anybody in the room notice that when George Bush speaks now, he has on either side of him two rectangular-shaped things, look like a piece of plastic, standing on a music stand? Anybody notice that?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many know what that is.
Telephone.
ELF.
No,
shield.
Not a telephone. After Bush was hit by a couple of low-frequency, low-level ELF shots in Japan, and he threw up all over the Japanese leaders, they got onto what caused his illness, and of course now he's protected by these two shields, which are able to deflect any ELF shots that are sent to him in his immediate area. They will deflect them. It's interesting to note that, because it's something like confirmation of what we said, that the sudden illness, quote, illness, unquote, that he suffered was not a normal one, but was induced by extremely low frequency radiation.
No, and it certainly did stop his heart too.
Yes, I'm sure of that.
This gentleman was very, very dead for a little bit.
What about the 30, isn't there only 30% of the population that's really human, and the rest of them are robot-like?
Well, I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
A lot of 30%. Ones have been bred into oblivion of life, but that can be reclaimed.
Question for John, please.
Please.
Could you give us up-to-date stuff, John, on number one, South Africa, number two, no elections in November?
Mm-hmm.
No elections in November. I'll start with that, because that's probably a very distinct possibility. Bush at the moment is doing his best with all of his entourage to frantically keep the skeletons locked up in his closets, and they're rattling louder and louder every day, believe me. There are dozens of them. Now, if any of those should be lucky enough to escape a few at a time, Mr. Bush is going to have to resign, and it may be that the powers that be by that time will have seen that Clinton isn't quite the heavyweight that they had him panned out to be, and there may very well be no election. We may even have martial law by then. As for South Africa, it's at the crossroads of extreme violence, which could go on for 30 years. Just this week, they've had the most violent killings in the entire history. In the 11 years that the Inkatha, that's the Zulu party, have been fighting the ANC, that's the party of the Mandela group, 11,000 blacks have been killed by other blacks. And just this week, the killing reached new heights of 184 black people lost their lives. And the highest total of 28 in one day was Friday the 13th. We have a situation pending there which is fraught with peril. But the interesting thing about this is that it's all tied to the price of gold. The price of gold declined again yesterday by $3.50.
It's $3.48 or something.
It's now $3.47.50.
It's true.
And
it's
why
the
is it
time
that,
to buy, my friends.
Why is it at that low level? Now, you can bring me all the graphs, all the charts, all the economic data, and I'm going to tell you, throw them in the garbage can, because gold is a political metal, ladies and gentlemen. It is not tied to economic factors.
If you want to know the price of gold, find out the price of a pound of pure raw opium.
Mm-hmm.
And find out how close Mandela is to taking over the reins of government in South Africa. The South African economy was brought to its knees by undercutting the price of gold, with the idea of the Committee of 300 finally obtaining their objective. They already have oil entirely in their control. They have almost every raw material in the world. The one thing they lack is total control. They've had partial control, let's say up to 85% of gold production in South Africa and the diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking for 100% control, and the only way they're going to get this is by getting rid of the present government and installing Mandela, who does not really represent the black people. He's really a puppet and a pawn in the game. He's there to do the will of the Committee of 300, because as soon as he's in power, the price of gold, they're going to recover all their losses by the price of gold shooting up to $1,000 an ounce or more. But it's not going to last, for the reason that it will last only for as long as the poor black people in this country, in South Africa, do not realize that they've merely been pawns in the game. But once they do that, and there's going to be great brutality by black upon black, they've already unleashed a lot of stuff which has come to our attention, whereby we'll have another Khmer Rouge situation where millions and millions of these poor blacks will be viciously taken out of the country and marched back to their reservations where they'll die of starvation. And this is going to be done under the auspices of the Committee of 300. But the price of gold is the key, because they have to give an impression of prosperity having come to South Africa. And for a while this is true. So if you see gold going up to 650 or something, buy it, because it's going to go up to more than 1,000, but it's not going to last. It's going to last only as long as the dupes, both black and white, fail to realize that they've been pawns in the game, and that this is a great stage play put on by the Committee of 300. But South Africa is set for serious problems for the next 30 years, because even if Mr. Mandela does become the president of the country, he's not really the leader. The real leader lurks behind the scenes, and that's a colonel in the KGB, Mr. Joe Slovo, who's closely tied through the International Policy Studies Group in Washington, who have really funded all of these activities. And this is a far left-wing organization through the Rubin Foundation. They've given Mandela and Joe Slovo millions and millions of dollars to bring things to the point where they are. I'm most sorry for the black people. My heart goes out to them the most, because they are going to be the biggest losers. They're going to be like the Khmer Rouge victims in Cambodia, the 2 million people who were taken out and slaughtered as an experiment of genocide, so that the Committee of 300 could see whether this is a possibility that will work. And we're going to have the same situation in South Africa, because there's no way that that burgeoning population of black people can be supported by the small pyramid power structure at the moment. The economic power structure is very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Committee of 300 pulls the gold and the diamonds out and takes total control, the whole economy is going to collapse, and you have millions of black people, always the first victims of tyranny, the same as they were in Rhodesia, Mozambique, Angola, you name it, the Congo. You're going to find the black people, the victims, the helpless victims of the Committee of 300. Now, they may organize. You might find that in Qatar they've got a very wonderful man there, Chief Buthelezi. I happen to have had the honor to meet with him personally. As a matter of fact, we met in a bookshop in the Royal Hotel in Durban when I was there. He was paging through some magazines, and I was standing right next to him looking at it, and I looked up, and he caught my eye, and I caught his at the same time, and I said, "Aren't you Chief Buthelezi?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Who are you?" And I told him. He said, "Come and have some tea with me." Wonderful man, educated, brilliant man. He realizes he's being duped by the communists. He realizes that the blacks in South Africa are being duped by false front organizations whose only aim and object, ladies and gentlemen, is to enslave them entirely, deprive them of their economic liberties, and then destroy them as useless, unwanted, useless eaters in terms of the global genocide policy. So if Chief Buthelezi is able to organize his forces along with the remnants of the white. And by the way, they've already, today I got the news, because we're in daily touch with South Africa, that the white element have met with him secretly yesterday and asked if they can form a non-aggression pact with him against the communists and the left wing and the Committee of 300, and he's agreed to it. So you have the makings of an intensive guerrilla warfare struggle which could continue for 30 years in South Africa. And it's only part of this vast apparatus, this vast organization, the Committee of 300, that sits over there and they pull all the strings, every facet of your lives, my life, the life of every black person in South Africa, indeed over the whole world. We are facing consummate evil with these people. This is evil incarnate. And I think it's a unique opportunity that God has given us to tear the veil from their faces and be able to look at them and say, you are the guys who are causing all the trouble in the world. Now we know you. And if nothing else in my life, I'm glad that I've been able in some small way to make this contribution, that it is possible for us to do this today. Thank you so much.
These 300 people are. Wasn't there a book written about it? Did you show that? Or is it the 300? I barely got it
read
it
yet. We have a special deal for you.
You'll have more advantage than you realize. As far as you ones personally are concerned, because there's something about the ego of these elite evil beings. They are so accustomed to this power that it never crosses their mind that you can do more than just nibble away at them. You just annoy them, you see. And they are faced with two things. One, you coming into knowledge and being able to do something about it. They perceive that it's gone far enough now that there's nothing you can do about it and you're going to have to know anyway. So literally they do a lot of squawking on the basis of anti-Semitism and bigotry and whatever that they want to throw at you. And they can stop your publications and they can do this, that, and the other, but the facts are they're not as dangerous to you as you might think, because they know this information has to go out there. And when you realize the overwhelming strength of this evil cartel, your first perception will be it is hopeless. Anything they want, if they just let me not go in pain. So that's where you have to take control of your power as a sovereign being. They have to work in the dark because they dare not work in front of you. And yet, now that they are being caught with all their skeletons showing, they still mesmerize you by saying, oh, I know you'll go ahead and vote for me because I've learned my lesson. Whereas if Joe Blow is stopped on the street and he has a little bit of cocaine, he's going to end up in prison and a fine. We're going to really teach him a lesson. And if somebody goes in and writes the second bad check, you're in real trouble, people. And of course, it depends on how bad the check was. We are talking the House of Representatives into the thousands of dollars per check. And that's deliberate. And your gentleman from Texas wrote almost 800 of them. That's a lot of money. I don't care over what period you spread it. That's criminal. And if you are not more discerning of the people that you choose, it only speaks of yourself. And your police are now trained by the KGB and the Mossad. They have been working with CIA trainers at least since your 50s. They're preparing the enforcement agency to enforce their laws. And they want you to know it. They will deny it and deny it and deny it, but they want you to know it. They want you to have a good look at Rodney King. It doesn't matter to them whether 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 of their officers go to jail. Because that one would never have been mentioned had somebody not photographed it. They bring children into the children's hospital with their eyes broken out. These police are thugs. And for every, it used to be for every bad one, you would have a million good ones. No way. For every good one, you've got a whole battalion just itching to use that baton. And they show you how it works on every television program. So you don't dare go against them. And I mean it. You don't dare go against them. They'll just beat you to death. You must be wiser than they. And that's what we're about. You will not take them by force. If you have to have sandbags in 1996, you get behind them. You have no force alone with which to stand against this army and their toys. So don't have this Rambo image of I will go in and I will turn it around. Even Bo must understand you will never do it with bullets. You won't last long enough. But you can do it. And they have great egos. That is part of the physical expression. They want you to know. They cannot bear it until you know. And you see, these secrets that are coming forward, these are the things that really annoy, however. They don't care whether Bush is in there. They would rather have Bill Clinton. He's younger, a few more hidden skeletons. But you see, they've thrown that out to you, and you patted him on the head and didn't want to judge. How big of you, America? He's one of them, groomed by them. He is part of the committee. Please don't be foolish. So what are your choices? George Bush or Clinton? And that's the way they would like it to remain. And then you might get to election if you don't push too hard. And then listen to what they say. You knew when the robot came. You knew the moment the robot opened his mouth and said, George Bush is an honorable man, and I just wanted to pull him a little bit farther away from his high point so he would be more like us. You didn't have a prayer because Buchanan had already played their game and they got him. They got him. And what you see ain't what's there. And it could happen to every one of them. But anybody working in the service of God is unprogrammable. They've got to simply take them out dead. And that's a little harder to do when they're asking for the protection so that they can serve. You see, when the intent goes from let me be president and I'll be the big shot to my God, my kids will not have a land. And it's sobering. It's frightening. But it's possible to undo it. There are only basically 300 major ones of them. You have 6.5 billion people. And it appears they have all the power. And at this point, physically, they control it all. So it begins to be, once confronted, up to you. Please.
When I come to this group, I work for Pacific Telephone, and I work at the best for Delta and Mark Jones. I've come in contact with the public, lots of people every day, in Los Angeles, and when I first met this group, became aware of the material, I experienced a shift in consciousness, a whole total new world of what was going on opened up. And I was very excited to share what I was learning here with the people that I came in contact with. And I find little opportunities, I get a customer on the phone, I say a little thing, right, he's doing that quite a bit. And people come to the drive-thru, I hand them food, and I say, how do you like the new world order? I'll have some little comment to stimulate thinking. And I try with my fellow employees to hand them some of the papers and material. When I hand them the paper, I maybe circle one part I thought would be significant to them, and they read it, and they say, who printed this? And then they say, Anton, who's Anton? Extraterrestrial? Down comes, end of conversation. Alan's cuckoo. And that, so then I began to not let them notice where it came from. Just, here's the information, pull it back and see if they, find verification.